This used to be a sale barn. I'm going to tell you what, it was one of the first places I remember as a house of prayer. Is there anybody ever sold any cattle here? Anybody ever bought any cattle here? Did you ever sell or buy at any sale barn that you didn't pray that they would live? They would bring what you wanted them to bring. There's been more prayers, earnest going to God in prayer in a sale barn than there ever been in a church. So I'm not a member, but I vote against the new church. Keep praying right here. No, I'm just joking. If you can survive growth, we talked about this. If you can survive growth in a marriage, it will last forever. Okay? That means having kids and going longer and growing. You survive that. If you can build something together, you can survive a marriage. God compares that in His Word the same way. If you can survive growth as a Christian family, guess what? You can survive as a Christian family. If y'all survive, and I'm praying that you do, because I know you will, building this new establishment that God's going to bless y'all with, guess what? Y'all will be a Christian family. And I know you can do it. I know you can do it. Couple of things. Forrest Gump passed away. Anybody know that? Y'all know who I'm talking about? Forrest? Forrest Gump? Life is like a box of chocolates. He made it up to heaven because he accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. It's the only reason he went to heaven. And when he got there, St. Peter met him at the gate. Because that's the way every story about going to heaven starts, right? It's not really that away, but we're going to go with it, okay? We're having church in a cell barn. Work with me. It's a house of prayer. But the awesome thing about it is he got up there and said, okay, we need to find out, like crowns, you know, where you're going to be placed in heaven and who you're going to live by and all that kind of stuff. He said, we got to do a little test here, Forrest. All right, that's okay with me. I can do a test. I'm not stupid. And I'm not a smart man, but I can do a test. I said, well, okay, I need you to tell me what 2 days of the week start with a T. Oh, that's simple. That's today and tomorrow. Well, you got me on that one, Forrest. I wasn't expecting that. Never heard that in all these years, but okay. That helps me lead towards which end you're going to live on. How many seconds are in a year? A whole year, how many seconds? That's simple, too. Man, this is an easy test. Glad Mama sent me to school. There's 12 seconds in a year. In a whole year, 365 days, all the hours, how many seconds? And you say 12? Yes, sir. January 2nd, February 2nd. March 2nd. What's sad, some of y'all are getting it. That's exactly what I thought. What's so funny? Okay, one last thing. You have got to share with me what you have called God the most in your life. What's another name for God Almighty? That simple too, St. Peter. I call him Andy. He said, Andy? Yeah, Mama always sang me that song about God, and He walks with me, and He talks with me. Yeah, I'll explain it to you later. How we live our life. Now, there is a prayer in God's Word, talking about a house of prayer. And it tells us in Matthew chapter 6, Our Father in heaven. Are y'all with me? Y'all have got it turned to Matthew chapter 6. It won't stay there, but I got to get my glasses. Y'all ready? You want me to turn around and read it? Yeah. Hey, I might need my glasses now. I got this back here so there would be something back there. There's nothing else back there. I ordered a new pair of jeans. It's only going to have one pocket because that's all I really have room for. I'll let y'all look at that. Y'all ready? It says, verse 9, in this manner therefore pray. I made a little short note here. But it says, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Our kingdom come, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That's referred to as sins. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil and the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Don't stop there. Verse 14, most important part of our message today. If you don't get anything else, if you hadn't heard, if you've already turned me off just like the mic man did, find a way to hear this. For in 14 of Matthew 6, for if you forgive men of their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you of your trespasses. How many is dealing with forgiveness this morning? Anybody? If you're dealing with it, I get a chance to cowboy for a living, not because I'm that good of a cowboy, but because I've got some really good dogs. People say, man, if them dogs could drive and open up a gate, we wouldn't call you. But in the area where I live, it's real rocky, it's real brushy, it's real nasty, rough country. God built it. I know he did because he created this earth. I do not believe he's been back there. I think he started from the east and the west and he got to the middle, whatever was left over. He said, I got a bunch of stuff here left over, a bunch of cedars, cedar flies, bunch of mesquites. I've got a bunch of rocks. Let's put it right here and call it Palapena County. And God blessed me with the ability to live there. And you say, what is your responsibility? How do you know you are responsible for something? When God gives you the ability and the opportunity, then that turns into responsibility. If you don't have the ability to help me change my tire, wave at me and keep driving. Don't stop and stand there with your hands on your hips and tell me I'm doing it wrong. And you already told me you don't know how. But I have the responsibility to live right where I live and do what I do. And how I know is because every day the telephone rings and says, hey, we need you to come do this. We need you to come do that. We've tried. We have blowed up all the tires on the four-wheeler. We've run out of gas 3 times. We've tore up 2 trailers. We've crippled all of our horses. We've screamed and hollered until we've got laryngitis. And I said, well, if you really have laryngitis, you can go with me to pend those cows. Because the longer the ear, the easier they can hear. And you don't have to holler at them. You just have to be real patient and wait on the leader. You only have to pen one cow when you're going to pen cattle. Did you know that? The leader. And once that one goes, all of them follow. Have you ever noticed that? But most people do it like a squeeze in a toothpaste. They just keep squeezing. There's nothing open on one end and the lid's not off. But here in a minute, it all out the middle. Sounded like a fart, didn't it? I did that with my mouth. So, oh, man, he said fart while he was preaching. Hey, anybody in here that hadn't farted, cast the first stone. I'm waiting. Okay. And they smell, contrary to your belief. But the neat thing about this is not just a prayer. This is the way we're supposed to live our life. It's a guideline of not just a way to pray, but how to live our life. And I was dealing with a little forgiveness problem. And so I had to pray a prayer like this one morning when I got up, if y'all would pray with me. Lord, I come to you and Lord, I pray that you would just cleanse my heart, cleanse my mind, and forgive me where I have failed you. And Lord, use this time, use today, the job, the task that is before me to honor and glorify you and plant a seed for your son, Jesus Christ. Whatever it may be, whatever I must go through, give up, or gain, or lose, let this day be for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I know it wasn't word for word, but I needed that this morning. and I needed it that Monday morning. That the young man called me on Sunday afternoon, and he said, I have tried and tried and tried in this rough, rocky, and miserable. Does anybody know where Highway I-20 and 281 comes to an intersection in down around Weatherford to Mineral Wells, Texas? I've got some people, you know, those old rough, rocky, big old man said, golly, boy, there ain't nothing up there. Well, guess what? That Monday morning, that's where I had to be. And I had to take my dogs because this guy had already tried with the Sook wagon. And if I ever need a white flatbed pickup with a black cake feeder on it, I'm coming to Woodward, Oklahoma. I seen 119 of them, and that was just at Atwoods. Praise the Lord. And there's nothing wrong with that at all. But if you ever see an old 90 model Dodge pickup, it's kind of square-nosed. I've shaped it a little bit on the right corner. It's a first-gen, second-gen put together. And the neat thing of it is I take that truck wherever I need to go. I load up my horse, I load up my dogs, and I go and help this guy. I pulled in. They've already tried all the feed sacks. They've already tried all the tricks. Trick or treat comes once a year. All right? And if they came in May, I would give them some candy because they tricked me. But they keep coming on the same day, right? October. Well, this guy kept going down there on the same day, trying to feed those cows at the same time and get them in the same old broken down pens that they jumped out of. And he wanted me to go try and do that. I said, I'm not as good as you, so I can't do it either. But let's try something. There's 41 cows in here, kicked out three dogs. Here in about 8 minutes, that's the dog that's been stepped on. He's a good dog, but he's got a bad lip. Looks like he's been to the dentist, you know, and the stuff didn't wear off. So they're on. They're in. They're my three best dogs. I've got one more dog in the trailer, and he is losing his mind. He is half Airedale, half Walker Hound. Okay? Don't turn him out unless you want to gather the neighbor's cattle, too. This is only a 680-acre pasture. We don't need to gather 6,000. Because that's what sticker does. And so, reminding myself of that prayer, I get on my horse and I pray again. And the young man named Rodney, I said, we're going to go gather these cattle. Well, what are we going to do? I ain't never worked around dogs before. I said, well, guess what? Them dogs ain't never worked around you before, and I bet they're over there talking about it right now. You can understand him. The only one that really still understands English is the one that's got the bad lip. And we can't understand him. So we get over there, and I said, well, he gets ready, and he rides off. And he looks back. What are you doing? Come on, we got to go. I said, trust? What do you mean, trust? And I said, we're trusting those dogs to gather those cows because you can't and I can't. It's a pride thing, man. I am a cowboy. I go get them cattle. Watch me. No, like I said, if the dogs could drive and open and shut a gate, you wouldn't have called me. So I get down there in a walk. I said, Rodney, all you need to remember is never, ever, whatever you do, this is the one thing you need to know about working with a man and his dogs. I said, what's that? I said, it's just like a woman and her child. Don't get between them. If she whips out that wooden spoon, somebody's going to get a spanking. And if you're between her and the child at time that needs the spanking, you might get the wooden spoon. I, on the other hand, reach into my chap leggings, the little leggings here, and I pull out a .22 pistol full of rat shot. And what's that for? What's that for? Them dogs? The people I work with. Oh, really? I said, don't get between me and my dogs. Because if I tell them to get out one time, they get out. If I have to tell them to get out two times, I click the hammer. Three times, I fire a shot. Those are not ticks on that blackmouth cur's hind end. Those are little pellets coming up from the last time I turned her out. And don't worry, they come out, no problem. Because the last time I used a shock collar, somebody was saying, why don't you use a shock collar? $350 shock collar. $550 dog. Flipped that dude over backwards, ran off. I ain't seen the $550 dog or the $350 shock collar again. It belonged to a neighbor of mine. I was supposed to train him. I took back that little monitor, and I said, I hope that thing's worth $800 or $900, because that's all you're getting back. So as we are getting engrossed in this cattle gathering, we get down there, and we walk up on the cattle. They see us for the first time. And the last time they saw somebody horseback, but they are cheek to cheek, backed up against each other like a covey of quail. Got their little calves stuffed up under them. And them dogs are just making laps. One stick its head out, and that dog would put it back in. Get around. And so what get around means they get on the other side. Get back. They get back on the other side, and they start bringing those cattle to my voice. Well, here in a minute, one old cow can't stand it. And she leaves. And the dogs are barking and carrying on. Get ahead! I said, get ahead! And all of a sudden, the dogs quit barking. Rodney said, yeah, they lost her. And I said, no, sir, they didn't lose her. They are real polite dogs. He said, what do you mean polite? I said, any three of them dogs will not talk with their mouth full. And just as I said, mouth full, you hear this. And bottom lip, let's go. Bring her back. And I'm not mad. I just talk loud so you can hear me. And them dogs bring her back. And they let go. Just as soon as they get back, I said, get out. And they got out. We get a count on those cattle. There's 40 head. There's supposed to be 41. And every time he's tried to gather this pasture in the last 4 months, guess what? He was missing that one cow. I said, well, all right, we got these counted, we got these taken care of. I said, let's walk them down here at these pens. Oh, we can't do that. I said, you're right, we can't. But I said, them three dogs will. I said, well, what much you think they will? I said, because they know that there's four shells in my gun that is rat shot. And there's two shells that are live rounds. Yeah. If I've done gone through them four, we get down them last two, we ain't talking about it no more. Because I got 11 more of them up at the house on a chain, leaning on that chain, ready to go. We get those cattle in the pens. I put them dogs up. I take my jacket off because it's warmed up by now, and I hang it in the one corner where the last cow went over. I take off my vest, and I hang it over in the other corner to make it look like somebody's standing there. Some of y'all got a set of pins like that, I know. And I said, all right, now it's time to go get the one more cow. I rode over to the trailer next to the pins, and I turned out Sticker, the Airedale Walker Hound Cross, the mistake of nature, and looks like one. About this tall, black back. Long red hair, mustache longer than mine. Little goatee. Look kind of like this guy got a little old goatee right there. And he's something because he knows them ladies like him. Can't have that much hair and not be a ladies man. In the 1970s maybe. But anyway, he goes down there and he makes a lap around them cattle, and then I ride straight back to where them cattle come from because he's smelling them cattle. He's all nose and he's all business. He's got his nose on the ground and he leaves. And I said, Rodney, now we can hit a trot. And we take off. I'm riding a little red dun horse. It reminds you a whole lot of like that little Appaloosa pony that my son rides. Because he's got no face and a fast pace. Ain't no need in even pulling on him. I just put a bit on him that I like because he don't like any of them. And I put his nose down to the ground and he follows that dog. And we're going under brush and trees. And Rodney, it's about a 36 by 30 jean size. And his horse fits Rodney perfect. Great guy. He's a cattle buyer. He's a cattle owner. Not a cowboy, but he's in on the deal. And he's following me right behind. Okay, he's lost his jacket and his hat because he wasn't willing to hang it on the fence like I was. He gets down there. He's got a little abrasion kind of like this. And a few others, and all of a sudden we get to where those cows were, where we bait them up. Guess what happened? I said, all right, get around. And the dogs got around, went to smelling, Sticker left. And I said, that's where the cow went. That cow was there when we started to bay, and she left. And I said, them other dogs knew to stay with the bunch till I got there. Sticker, about a half a mile away. And I said, all right, we got him. Get him behind, dogs. Come in. They get in line. Click that pistol a couple of times, remind them I still got it. And we hit a trot. And oh, did we trot. Oh, oh, oh. Getting a little closer. Getting a little closer. We may be a quarter of a mile away now. Oh, oh. Rodney's getting scared. It's 2 o'clock in the afternoon. He said, man, I don't know what's over there. I said, that's Sticker and that's your other cow. One more little thicket that we've got to go through and come up on this little rise, and we'll be able to see the one dirt tank that's on that far south side, and you can hear the cars on the interstate. Oh! Oh! Bam! Bam! That wasn't my gun. And I turned my horse from a trot to wide open. Rodney is nowhere to be seen back there. And when I get up on that knoll and I look at that dirt tank, there's one black cow, 73. I'll never forget her number. She was the one that never stayed with the bunch and had to get gathered. She was the one that got me that job today. She was the one that was going to buy my family groceries that day. Because we live one day at a time. Even y'all know what I'm talking about. If you have anything to do with horses and cattle. I drop off this bluff that the man from Snowy River would not have rode down. Because in Australia, they don't have saddle horns. And when I got to the bottom of it, I don't even remember how I got to the bottom of it. It was just a shale hill, and I went down that thing, and I got up to that cow, and she would not move. She had just a tick of blood right here on the end of her nose. I don't mean chewed up. Because that dog wouldn't chew nothing up to save his life. But if that cow tried to take a step forward, he's going to bite her on the nose and back up and make a lap. And it looked like you had taken a broom and swept a perfect circle around that cow. That dog had been over there that long going around that cow in that old shelly old dirt. And as I walked up and looked, that cow did not move and that dog did not move. He's laying dead, dead, dead. And it come over me, because y'all know, since I've been here Friday night, I ain't quit talking. And I could not say a word, and there's one reason I couldn't say a word, is because of the prayer I prayed that morning when I got up and left the house, that God, this day be for you, and your will be done, not my will. Your seed be planted, not my seed. Your thought be planted, not my thought, on this job that I have before me. That Jesus Christ would be the one that got shined through this job today. I rode up. I picked that dog up and laid him over the neck of that horse. And I'm not going to go into detail what he looked like. You can imagine. A big, large bore rifle, not as far from here to that door, had shot that dog 2 times. And I had a collar on that dog that I make out of an old halter, and I had an ear tag. Have y'all seen those big old orange blank ear tags? The big as you can get. They would look big on the biggest Bramer cow. And got my name, Bar Y, and my phone number on both sides, because Sticker was sure enough good about going and gathering the pastor. And you had to go get him. If he didn't have something with him to bring him, he would lap them up and keep them in a circle until you went and got him or got the cattle. That's just what he did. That's how he was bred. The man that owned the property, that had leased the property to Rodney, that finally has got there by now. And by the time the day's over, I just want you to know, he wore a 36-30 when we started. He could have borrowed some of my 30-36s the time we got through. is a good weight reduction program, the sweat and the stress. We rode up on that cow. He rode up. And if there's anybody that's got a softer, more tender heart towards animals, is old Rodney. And he went to crying before he could even say anything. I'm talking about a 35-year-old grown man. Just went to crying. Oh, Barry, I am so sorry. Oh, my gosh, I should have called that guy. I should have called him. I should have called the owner of the land. He knew we were coming in here to get these cattle. The man pulls up on his little gator, and he's got two little girls with him, his daughters. And he's a big, avid hunter, and he is a good shot. Okay? And I couldn't put a price on that dog, but he wasn't worth what that cow was, so I was glad he didn't hit the cow. But people, stay with me. I hope you're where I'm at on this feeling thing, on this forgiveness thing. I'm talking about the best dog I have ever had. For 3 years, I put that dog out, and he done exactly what he was supposed to do, exactly when he was supposed to do it. And it just amazed me how well he followed the older dogs and learned what he was supposed to do. And he gave his life for me. Someone else took his life. He pulls up. He says, oh, my gosh. He realized what he had done. I picked that collar off that dog's head, and I held it up, and I looked at him just straight on. And oh, what I wanted to say. And I looked at that, and the Holy Spirit, people, if you don't believe in it, let something like this happen to you, and you keep your mouth shut. It's the Holy Spirit. Came over me and reminded me of what I asked God for that morning. To let his will be shine through me, not my will. Hung that collar on my saddle, turned around and rode off. And as I was riding off, the one thing I could hear that man saying, will you forgive me? Please forgive me, Barry. Barry, please forgive me. Hey, Barry, don't leave. Please forgive me. I never checked up. Me and old No Face, fast-paced, we left. I went straight to the trailer, put that dog in the trailer. I've only buried two dogs because we are solid rock. You can dig a hole right here through this concrete before you can in my backyard. We don't have post hole diggers. We have a rock bar and a coffee can. Until the year I come up here and you got me them grain scoops. Remember them grain scoops? We got three of them. The ends are bent off of them because that's how we clean out a hole in our country. Because it is solid. I dug a hole, I buried that dog, and let me tell you something, it took me 3 days. That man blew my phone up. I'm talking about he called me like I owed him something, you know, like a bill collector. And after 3 days, I called him back. And when I picked up the phone, he started in, Barry, you have got to tell me what you owe me. He said, I've been laying awake at night. I've been watching around, looking behind my back when I go to Walmart's. When I went down there to pick up welding supplies, I just knew somebody's going to shoot me. And I said, well, got one thing I have to say to you, and this is all I have to say to you on this matter. That's all I got to say about that is I forgive you. He said, what? I said, when I rode off from you, the last thing you asked me to do was, could I forgive you? And it's taken me 3 days. All right? Taken me 3 days. And I had to meet with my Heavenly Father and my Savior for 3 days and find the scripture how I was going to get past this, how I was going to forgive that man. Or possibly forgive myself, because I blamed myself the first couple of days. Why did I turn that dog out? I could have found that cow ain't worth 38 cents, which now she's worth $1.38. But anyway, the bottom line is, a pound, that is, I had to forgive him. He said, what do I owe you? I'll pay you. And this guy's got the money. Oh, does he have the money? He's got them little storage buildings that, you know, when you lay down and sleep at night, you're still getting paid. Can you find a deal like that? You know, his daddy owns a metal factory and he welds everything. I mean, nobody welds nothing up unless they hire him. And I said, well, I just got to let you know I don't really put human feelings and animal feelings together. But I got to tell you this. I said, I got to tell you that if it, this is how I felt when I rode off, and that's why I didn't say nothing. I just want to explain myself. I was not mad at you. Okay? I was furious. There's a difference. And I said, what I had to do was go home. I had to forgive you. All right? For sure. I had to forgive you. And what true forgiveness is realizing that I had an employee working for me. That's the way I treat my dogs. They're employees. They work for me. I have nobody else that I can tell, go get in that briar thicket and bring that Bramer out by the knapsack or wherever he needs to get a hold of it. Okay? I said, I had my best employee out. He's doing his job where he was supposed to be doing, what he was supposed to be doing. I mean, giving it 110%, and he got killed. How would you feel if you send your best welder out on a job, he's sitting there welding the gate up, and somebody drives by and kills him? Oh, my gosh, I never thought about it like that. I said, well, that's how I felt, and that's the reason I rode off, and I could not forgive you immediately like I am supposed to. I have Jesus in me, but I ain't him. Jesus forgives us immediately. Why keep asking him over and over and over and over and over and over and over? I got three more. Over and over and over to keep forgiving me for the same. Because he has to look at us if he could say, hey, I don't know what you're talking about. It's forgotten from east to west. It's done with. And so I told that guy, I said, listen, y'all probably never meet him. His name is Wade. If you know him, well, he's been forgiven. So I said, Wade, you did what you thought was right, trying to save Rodney's cow. Yes, we've had several stray dogs show up. And we've had, I said, how many stray dogs have a collar on with a big name? You know, I was wanting to just, but I didn't say that. And if you ever have a stray dog come around and keep a cow held like that, he's no longer a stray. I will take him. He's worth lots of money. But I said, I can't. He said, you name your price. I have a blank check with your name. And he did. He had a blank check with my name in the pay to and his name down there in the take from. He said, name your price. I said, no, sir. I said, if I accept anything from you, I am not truly forgiving you. If I sue you over this, guess what it says in God's word? We ain't supposed to do that, so I can't. That would be the same thing as going and suing him for shooting my dog. It's the way I felt. I'm not judging anybody here on anything. I'm just saying that's the way I felt. So I have to forgive you. In order for me to forgive you, I cannot accept payment. He said, okay, all right. But I said, wait, I have one regret. He said, and what's that? What's that, Barry? What's that? What? Just name it. Just name it. What can I do physically? He said, well, is there anything I can, you know, do? No. One regret. I said, that dog died thinking that cow killed him. Kind of reminds me of a Jerry Clyer story that the dog got run over on the railroad track that was fighting the raccoon. Some of y'all, have y'all heard that story? Yeah. Well, that's kind of what I thought of. God, I guess, blessed me as a younger age to hear that story so I could apply it and use it for God. Every little thing, every little thought, every little word that's gone in your past, you can use it for God. Or you can use it against God. And I realized that moment. It took me 3 days. Now, I'm going to be honest, I was a little selfish. Because in my mind, I'm thinking, Jesus, that's what you did for us. God turned you loose on this earth as a baby and raised up a perfect child. And he had brothers and sisters. Y'all realize that? Jesus had brothers and sisters. What a terrible thing to be a brother or sister of Jesus growing up. A vase gets broke. Mary comes home and says, who did this? John has to look over and say, well, you never asked Jesus who did this. You know, it's always something. Why can't you be like your big brother Jesus? Well, if he did break the vase, he could heal it and you wouldn't know it anyway. Gorilla glue don't work, guys. Got to use the super glue. After about 18 minutes, that Gorilla Glue comes out and it's got a white smudge on it. And me and Coy can't get it off quick enough before Mama realizes we done broke the vase. But taking that in mind, that Jesus grew up just like we did, but yet he lived a perfect life. Never done nothing wrong. Never had to get shot with rat shot. Never had to get called in. Did just what he was supposed to do. And he stayed there until his heavenly Father went and got him. Oh, come on. Kind of starting to sink in that that story wasn't about me. Wasn't about my dog. But that selfish thought came in because that third morning I ran like Mary and Peter and John and Martha out to the grave that I put that dog in, and the stone was not rolled away. I said, I'm going to have to compare Jesus and you together, okay? But you're supposed to come back now so I can take you back over there and hold your collar and say, you didn't do a very good job shooting my dog, did you? But then some of that selfishness came in, didn't it? Some of that selfishness. And just so y'all know, I usually speak until everybody gets up and leaves. You know, most people say amen, and then everybody leaves. I just go to talk, and I appreciate them leading the way. So, we're good. Yeah, if this service goes too long, it's your fault. You got to exit on both sides, and that one's unlocked. I've already checked. But I want you to know, can we get John 3:16, 3:17? Get that thing up under there, can I? What did I do with them glasses? Hey, it ain't embarrassing not being able to see. It's kind of like being poor. It ain't embarrassing. It's just inconvenient. Y'all let that sink in for a minute. About what old Sticker had to do to let Wade see Jesus Christ. I was able to share with Wade on the phone that the only reason that I could forgive him, the only reason I could do what it says in verse 14 of forgiving a brother so God would forgive me, is this right here, folks. It's John 3:16. You say, well, we've heard that many a times. Have you done anything with it? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. Okay, church members, what are we supposed to do? Accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior? Is that right? But we're not supposed to condemn anyone that does not accept Jesus Christ. Woo! Kick me one more time, God. Kick me again. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. So then that means that if we're supposed to be more like Jesus, we ain't condemning nobody today anymore. So I wasn't supposed to condemn that man. I was supposed to forgive that man and pray that he receives salvation if he does not have it. Condemn the world. But that the world through him might be saved. Holy Spirit came over me that day so that that man could be saved. Okay? Says, how can I do that? It says in Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if I confess with my mouth, if you will confess with your mouth, there's some light right there. Let there be light. Thank you, Jesus. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Holla! For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth they confess, with a fly in it. It's all right, I brush my teeth, Jew. And with his mouth confess and be made unto salvation. Oh, wow. How many of y'all done that? How many of y'all confessed Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior? Apparently not. Do we need to read that again? Where does it say, I confess with my raising my hand? I thought maybe I was reading something I wasn't. Yeah. It's the only rope trick I know is behind the back. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, how many in here have confessed? Yes, we have one that said yes. Confess with your mouth. Confess with your mouth. Believe in your heart. That's the only way that you can forgive someone when they take something that means the most from you. Because if you truly, and I give my children to the Lord when they were born. Okay? And then between, I'm going to say, 2 days and 2 years old, I give them to my wife. And then when they got out of diapers, I took them back for a little while. Y'all can go with me now. We throwed lots of underwear away. Lots of underwear. And I'd get home and she said, well, honey, that's not the way you're supposed to do. You should have called me and asked me what to do. I said, no, ma'am. Been married long enough to know that it's easier to get forgiveness than it is permission. Don't use that one, guys. It don't work. But these thoughts that God has planted in our minds this morning, you take something that God has allowed you to have and use in your life. There's a sticker in your life, okay? Pun intended. Maybe not be a dog, all right? But in this situation, God used this to make me realize that I had to forgive someone of the large things. And that's usually easy to do. Sometimes it's the little things that get us, isn't it? Because if I truly have Jesus as my Savior, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. But if I truly want to use Him and call Him my Lord, I have to start living like Him. And am I better than Jesus? Is anybody in here? You heard that introduction. I didn't have enough cash, obviously. He gave it back to me. My card's maxed out, which I don't even have one. I think it's an old Blockbuster card, and they shut it down. If I'd have paid those late fees, I feel bad. I hope they forgave me. Blockbuster would still be going if we'd have took all them movies back. But just ask that forgiveness. The only way you can have that forgiveness is have it in here. And say, Lord Jesus, I'm not better than you. So when you come up to me to ask me if I can forgive you, what am I supposed to do? No, I can't forgive you. I'm better than Jesus. Because if he asked Jesus to forgive him, if he's done something against me, and he feels like he says, Jesus, forgive me, now I got to go ask Barry to forgive me. Guess what Barry's got to do? Forgive you. Most likely it'd be the other way around. So I know I need a lot of forgiveness. Every day. And everything that you have gone through this last week, everything you're going through this next week, guess what? God is trying to share himself through you with someone else. The waitress at the restaurant, K-Bob's the other night. It's her first night. Oh, I love those. They're so nervous. They're so worried. They're so concerned. And she said, well, I hope I do a good job. I hope I was like, well, if you don't pour that hot coffee on me, I will be happy to give you a big tip. I pulled out the tip that God laid on my heart to give her and laid it on the table and put a salt shaker on it. Like a little old kid in a bag of candy. Is all that for me? And I said, ma'am, if you don't let our tea glasses go empty, you do what you've been called to do by this steakhouse, that's yours. You already know before you wait on this family what you're going to get. Jesus! Folks, today you already know what you're going to get before you start serving God. Do you realize that? Y'all didn't see that one coming, did you? Because that was from God. God's laid it out there. What you're going to get before you start serving Him, just like the Academy Awards, they start playing the music, you got to quit talking. Thank you. I appreciate that. Is there anyone here needs to give their soul to Jesus? You can do that right now. Right where you're at, you just confess with your mouth that you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and you want Him to save you. You can do that right now. That's between you and God. Don't have to come down here. Don't have to get all uncomfortable. But let me tell you what uncomfortable is. It's thinking about not receiving or not knowing what Jesus has for you. Now there's some that have given their soul. They know their salvation is secure. But you have not given your physical life to use throughout the rest of your life. So, well, I've had this question. I had a man come up to me and ask me one time, when do you think you're going to die? Do you know when you're going to die? I said, I sure do. Well, now it says in the Bible. See, I finally got you. It says in God's word that no one knows when they're going to perish. No one knows when Jesus is coming back. No one knows when or how they're going to die. I said, I know. When I am more benefit, when more people will receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, this world will be better off for Jesus Christ with me gone out of it than me being here. That's the day that I not only know that God's through with me, that I pray that He takes me out of this world. But until He does that, I want to be some earthly good to Jesus, because it says in His word that we want earth to be like heaven. And so many times I've had to ask God to forgive me for trying to make heaven like earth. We need to get through downloading, folks. We need to start uploading in Jesus' name. God, I just come to you. I pray if there's anyone here that is willing to confess with their mouth, to believe in their heart that Jesus done what Jesus came to this earth and to do, did not get killed. He allowed Himself to be taken so that I could have a home in glory, so that I could have salvation, so that I could have forgiveness. Lord, help me to return just that small part that You've given me, the ability and the opportunity to make that my responsibility to do. In Jesus' name I pray. Your precious blood be honored and glorified. Amen and amen.
Let's give this man of God a hand. Wow, what an amazing word. I hope you have a great afternoon, and we'll see you at 2 o'clock if you come by the Ranch Rodeo. Thank you guys for coming.
Thank you for listening to this message from Barry Clower at Thousand Hills Ranch Church in Woodward, Oklahoma. Join us again next Sunday at 9 or 10:30 a.m. at the Woodward Livestock Auction.